Welcome to all those joining us for the Shir and Chaim on today. Today's Shir is being sponsored by close friends in Toronto. And it's being sponsored as a Mazel Tov for Eitan and Batsheva, who just had a baby girl, Baruch Hashem. They should be Zeuch HaLegadlo LaTor L'chupa L'maisen Toivim. And a Refuah Shalema for Batsheva Sora Bas Freda Rivka. And a special Shmira for Akiva Pesach ben Bandana Toibo, together with all the other Chayoli Yisrael. Shem should watch over all the Jews, especially all the soldiers that are in Sakana all the time. We dedicate the learning for Yeshua, the big Yeshua for Klal Yisrael that's needed now all over the world. We're continuing in Chaim Aram, paragraph Tof Reish Hei, 605. And this shir might be a siyum. We might be completing the whole Sefer Chaim Aran today. Let's see. Rav Moshe Zal writes, I heard it told over in the name of Rabbeinu Zal that he said that even if a person is not religious, still it's very good for that person to try very hard to come close to a tzaddik. And he said, this is one of the interpretations in what the Tana is referring to in Pirkei Avos, Rabbi Shimon ben Asanel, who said, Al tehei rosho bifnei atzmacha. The regular translation of that mission is, don't be a rosho in your own eyes. Don't look at yourself only negative. But Rabbeinu Zal said, bifnei atzmacha also means by yourself. Don't be a rosho by yourself, meaning that even if a person is a Rasha, don't use that as an excuse to stay by yourself, but rather you should also make every effort possible to come close to a tzaddik in order that there'll be hope for you, that there's a good possibility that you'll be able to get a tikkun, you'll be able to improve. The next item, completely on a different vein, Tof Reshva, 606, Rav Nelson Zal writes, I want to make note of the incident that happened with Rabbeinu Zal of Moti Veloy Moti. This is a term that's used in the Zohar HaKadosh, and Rabbeinu Zal refers to it in chapter 24 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about a person reaching up to a very high level that they can't actually grasp, they can't hold on to it, they can touch it. It's like, let's say a person has the ability to jump, and the person, let's say, is 6 feet tall, and they can jump, they're really athletic, they can jump 2 feet. So they can reach something that's almost 8 feet above them. However, if there's something that's an inch or two higher than that, sometimes they can reach it, they can't grab onto it, but they can touch it. They can touch it. So they're touching it, but not really reaching it. That's called moti veloy moti. And in that chapter in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal relates to this regarding the incredible benefit of a person doing a mitzvah with simcha. He shows how when a person does a mitzvah with simcha, it brings about a chain reaction where the person goes higher and higher, and they can connect to this incredible level of moti veloy moti. It's brought that Rabbeinu Zal gave this shir on a Friday night, and he was speaking with such incredible hislav, with such a passion that the people couldn't understand, couldn't make out what he was saying. It was such a fire. And it was only afterwards that Rav Nosson Zal was able to write down the shir as Rabbeinu Zal had given it to him. So now Rav Nosson Zal says that there was once a time when Rabbeinu Zal was dancing and someone was singing. He says menagen, singing, possibly playing a musical instrument also, but it doesn't mention a name. It just says ches, the letter ches. Could be Chaim, could be Chatzkel, could be whatever it is. And Rabbeinu Zal said that he felt Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai at the time. He felt Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai at the time. And Rabbeinu Zal said that when he was in the state of moti, when he was in the state of actually touching that super high level, he didn't hear the singing or the music at all whatsoever. Afterwards, when he was coming down, when he was in that state of loy moti, Then he heard a little bit. There's a term that Rav Elazar uses in the Sfarim called bitul. Bitul means where a person nullifies themselves completely, a person negates themselves, a person wants to connect to Hashem on the highest level that they possibly can. And we know that the Sfarim tell us that there are different midos by which we can connect Hashem. Right now, we're in the period of time of Sfiras Omer, where we're counting 7 weeks, 49 days, and those that count properly say the tefillah before the bracha, and the tefillah is after the bracha, where we mention special paragraphs. We say the paragraph Ana B'chayach, which has 7 lines, 6 words in each line, so that you have the 6 words, and then the total of combining all those 6 letters together becomes number 7. Then you have line number 2, you have the 6 words. For example, the first line, Ona b'choyach gedulas yemincha tatir tserura, that's 6 words. And on the 7th day, a person is supposed to have in mind the first letters, Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Yud, Tov, Tzadik. And the Zohar Kodesh has a beautiful explanation of what that means. Av, Yud, Gimel, Kav Yochel, Hashem is the father of the 13 attributes of kindness. The Tov, Tzadik stands for Torah, Tzfuna, the hidden Torah. Each one of the lines has different deep interpretations. Then there's also the paragraph from Natzeich Beneginos, which has, from the word Elohim, it has 49 words till the end. And then the second sentence, second or third sentence, Yismachu v'irananu le'umim, has 49 letters in that sentence. And every night in many of the Siddurim, it shows you which letter applies to tonight of that line Yismachu, and which word of the paragraph from Masechet Megillos. And this all represents different midos of Hashem. Chesed shebechesed, Gvura shebechesed. Last night was Hoid shebegvura. Each night, and these are their svar, these svarim, the Arizal gives different explanations as to how these give us the ability to connect to Hashem through these midos. But then Rabbeinu Zal and the other Sfarim speak about the fact that there's something above these midos. Above those 7 midos chesed, there's Bina and Chachma and Keser, and then there's Atik, and then there's Ein Soif, that infinite light of Hashem. And Rabbeinu Zal in several places in his Sfarim speaks about a person trying to connect to these incredible high levels. Person being able to detach themselves from everything that's holding them down to this world and go above this world, go into Olam Haba, even while they're living in this world. Like when a person closes their eyes very tightly, closing their eyes to their physical surroundings and to their connection to the physical world in order to transport themselves above that. So here Rabbeinu Zal's telling us, Rav Nosson Zal's writing, that there was a time when Rabbeinu Zal experienced that we're aware that he experienced this bitul, this moti v'loy moti, this reaching up to that incredible high place where even he couldn't remain there. And when he reached that place, he didn't hear any, even though there was singing and music, he didn't hear any of it. When he was on the way down, that's when he was able to hear it a little. And Rabbeinu Zal said he was masig, then he felt Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We know that it's interesting that we're learning this right now. We're headed towards Lag BaOmer, and because of the war going on in Eretz Yisrael now, Rachmana Litzlan, from the north, from the south, from inside, there's a lot of talk that there might not be the usual huge Lag BaOmer celebration in Meron. The Sforim tell us, though, that this great celebration originated from the time of the Arizal. The Arizal would travel to Meron. He went there with his son to do his upsharing, his chalaka, when his son was 3 years old. And the Arizal spent a few days there. He spent 3 days at the time in Meron during the Lag BaOmer celebration. And there are quite a number of stories told about it. There's a Sefer Taimei HaMenhagim, which has maybe 25, 30 pages on Lag BaOmer, telling us a lot of the background and the different beautiful things written in Sfarim about Lag BaOmer. One of the stories brought there is once that the Arizal was seen at one point dancing with somebody, a tall person, dancing in an extraordinary happy way. And when he was asked afterwards, who was that? He said it was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It was him himself that he was dancing with. We see that there are certain tzaddikim that have the ability to connect on this incredible high level. I remember hearing from my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld, Zichrono Livracha, Lag BaOmer was one of the special times in the year where we would make a Suda. There was an actual Suda for all of his Talmidim and him. And there was a special lamp where lights would be lit. Le'ilu Nishmas, a number of the Tanoim, including Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And he would give an incredible shiur, usually in honor of Lag BaOmer, in honor of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And one of the shiurim, he quoted the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai made a statement that I, together with Yosam ben Uziyahu, our merit can cover the entire world from beginning to end. Our zchus can cover the entire world. And he mentioned why, out of all the different people in the world, Yosam ben Uziyahu. And he mentioned one of the Sifrei Kabbalah explains that Yosam ben Uziyahu, the first letters make up the Yud is Yetzira, the Beis is Bria, and the Ayin is Asiya. That Yosam ben Uziyahu, this tzaddik, would cover those three worlds. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he is Keneged Atzilus. He represents that incredible, that highest place. That's why he was saying, him and I, we can cover all the different worlds. We can make a complete tikkun for all the worlds. Here we see one of the associations between Rabbeinu Zal and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. There is the famous story that one of Rabbeinu Zal's students was once traveling, and he came to a city where the Rav there was known to be a tremendous tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham and a Yerei Shemayim, and the student of Rabbeinu Zal went in to see him, and he saw the Sefer Likutei Moran on the Rav's table. So he said to the Rav, "You learn this?" He said, "Yes. You're familiar with this?" He said, "Yes, that's my Rebbe." He said, "If that's your Rebbe, tell me why does he start his Sefer speaking about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that small introduction, L'chuch hazu." And the student was quiet. He understood that the Rav wanted to say something special. He said, "I'll tell you why." He said, "Because it's obvious from the whole Sefer that there's a special, special connection between the neshama of Rabbi Nachman and the neshama of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai." And he said, "If you look at the gematria, the numerical value, Rabbi Nachman ben Simcha is exactly the gematria Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, showing the deep connection between these tzaddikim." And we know that Rabbeinu Zal's Sfarim, especially the Likutei Moran, is based and interlaced with the Zohar HaKadosh, the Tikkuni Zohar. Almost every chapter on Likutei Moran has some kind of a connection to the Zohar HaKadosh, the Tikkuni Zohar. And Rabbeinu Zal's students in Eretz Yisrael made it an incredible focus, Miron and the Kever of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That was, in many ways, the most important place in Eretz Yisrael to go to, because of the special connection between Rabbeinu Zal and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. We know that when Rabbeinu Zal visited Eretz Yisrael, we learned about the story of his trip to Eretz Yisrael earlier in Chai, way back in the beginning of Chaim Aran, and Rabbeinu Zal was not able to get to Yerushalayim at that time. Eretz Yisrael in those days was very different from what it is today. It wasn't possible just about to get to Yerushalayim. So he came in by boat in the area of Akko, and he went up north. And Rabbeinu Zal spent time in Miron, in Tveria, Miron Tzvas. But in Miron especially, he spent an entire night. Rabbeinu Zal was there by the Kever of Shmuel, an entire night, and he was going back and forth. They saw an incredible hislavos in him that was extraordinary. And he encouraged those who were there to say the Zohar HaKadosh, to say tefillos. He was on fire. There was an extraordinary hislavos by Rabbeinu Zal there. Rabbi Avrom Sternhartz, Rabbi Koch of Leuzon, when he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, he was 73 years old. And he arrived in Eretz Yisrael, I believe, Rosh Chodesh Adar. On the 7th of Adar, Zayin Adar, he was already on his way up to Miron with a small group of people. And he went there to daven. In those days, it wasn't like today, by car, 2.5 hours to Miron. It could have been 6 or 8 hours travel to Miron in those days. in the 1940s, we're talking about 1930s, I believe, even. Because he was Nifter in 1953 and he spent about 20 years in Eretz Yisrael. So after davening there for a while, he turned to the people around him and he said, "It seems that now, if we don't have the opportunity to go to Uman for Rosh Hashanah, then this is the place. This is the place where the Breslov gathering on Rosh Hashanah should take place in Miron by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai." So once again, we see a very important connection. We're hoping this week there's going to be Erev Rosh Chodesh. Tuesday this week is Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And usually we go to Miron to say Yom Kippur Katan. Because we're in Nisan now, because Tuesday will still be the final day of Nisan, we don't say Yom Kippur Katan, but still many people travel to Miron to be mispalel in general, and especially now when we're hoping it's a matter of a few weeks away from Lag BaOmer, we're hoping and praying that the Lag BaOmer celebration will take place the way it's supposed to, and no one will be harmed in any way, not physically, not spiritually. I see a note in the chat that they both have their yahrzeits both come out on the 18th of the month, exactly. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal is Iyar, Chai Iyar, and Rabbeinu Zal is Chai Tishrei. Question in the chat, can an average person keep in mind all of these things, the letters and the words when they're saying the Nusach of Sfira Soimer, or will it only confuse them? The answer is, if you're privileged to be davening in a Breslov shul, usually the counting of Sfira could take anywhere from 15 to 20 minutes. So a person has the time to go slowly and to look to see the words to make the connections. If not, as long as the person is aware of it, they're aware that there are these connections. And when they're saying those paragraphs, the Ana B'choyach T'lam Natzech Meneginas, that a person believes that every day has a special, unique connection to Hashem, the person can definitely make that connection. The next item, Tuf Resh Zayin, Rav Nosson Zal says this is related to chapter 32 in the second half of Likutey Moharan. And Rav Nosson Zal points out that this shiur was given by Rabbeinu Zal based on a story that took place. One of the great tzaddikim who became a Breslover was the Trovitz Magid, whom before Trovitz is the name of a city. This Magid, this great rabbi, came from Trovitz, and he was responsible for 80 cities that he would travel to throughout the year, giving Musar, giving Shiurim. And when he met Rabbeinu Zal, who was much younger than him, he told his students that no more rabbi for me. I'm not a rabbi anymore. I'm starting making a new beginning. This is my rabbi. Whoever wants, they can come and join me. And he became one of the close, devoted Talmidim of Rabbeinu Zal. And it's brought that he once came to Rabbeinu Zal, I believe it was for a Shabbos, and he was troubled by a question that he had asked many other rabbis, and nobody was able to answer it. And when he came to Rabbeinu Zal for that Shabbos, before he had a chance to ask the question, Rabbeinu Zal gave a shiur presenting the question and the answer to the question that he had. The question was that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Torah tells us that they brought many, many people close to Hashem during their time. And he said, for sure, it wasn't just through their words. They must have written Sfarim, they wrote books, speaking about Emunah in Hashem, and those books were spread. Where are all of those books? Where are the Sfarim that were written by Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the other great tzaddikim of that time? And Rabbeinu Zal gave a whole shiur which explained why those books had to be hidden, why we don't have those books today. So afterwards, after that Shabbos, the Magid traveled to a certain place where his son-in-law, Rabbi Yitzchak, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham of Hashem, was a Rebbe in that city. And in those days, being a Rebbe in a city meant leaving your family for 3 months, 6 months at a time for your job to be there to teach. and then go home for Yom Tov, go home for Pesach, go home for Rosh Hashanah through Sukkot, that kind of thing. So the Trovetz HaMagid was traveling, and he came to the city where his son-in-law was a Melamed, and his son-in-law started asking him about his wife, about the son-in-law's wife, the Trovetz HaMagid daughter. How is your daughter? How is my wife? How are my children doing, etc.? And his father-in-law, the Magid, said to him, instead of asking me about them, why don't you ask me where I'm coming from now? You know where I was? I'm coming from Breslov. And I was by the great Rabbi Nachman. And I asked him a question. I wanted to ask him a question that I had asked many tzaddikim, and nobody gave me a proper answer. And he gave me a perfect, clear, complete answer. And he presented the question that he had asked. And he said, I've asked this to many tzaddikim. None of them were able to come up with an answer. And he revealed an incredible Torah, this chapter on the Qumran, chapter 32 in the second half of the Qumran, which answers this. And the Makkid said, when Rabbeinu Zal was speaking, I saw like fire coming out of his mouth. And I thought to myself, I can't imagine how anybody's going to be able to write this down. And sure enough, the next morning, the young Reb Nosson came along, and he had the whole thing written down on paper with ink clearly presented. This is the Trovetz HaMagid. This is Rabbeinu Zal. This is Reb Nosson Zal. Any questions, please?
What was the answer?
What was the answer? The answer is a chapter on the Qumran. It would be a little long, just on a short level. Rabbeinu Zal explained that there were also many Sfarim of Apikursin. And if those Sfarim were around today, it would be almost impossible for a Jew to maintain his Emunah in Hashem. Those Sfarim. And in order, sometimes Hashem says, in order to bring peace between Hashem and the Shechina, Hashem says, let my name be erased. And Rabbeinu Zal shows there that a Sefer, the word Sefer, is Begematria shame. Having a sefer erased, having a sefer become hidden, is like having Hashem's name erased. And Hashem, and Rabbeinu Zal explains there, that's this concept, like when we want to make peace between husband and wife, in the story of a Saita, we erase a parsha in the Torah. He gives a whole beautiful explanation there, that when we want to bring peace between Hashem and the Shechina, it requires sometimes these books, these holy books of tzaddikim, going away, not being there, in order that those books of Apikursis, philosophy, and everything, should also not be available, so that it shouldn't chas shalom do incredible damage. Can take bring me a good amount, please. The next item, Tof Resh Ches. Rabbeinu Zal told a story. During the time of the Baal Shem Tov, there was a person, a young man, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and sharp. And unfortunately, he was very opposed to the Baal Shem Tov. We know that in those days, there was, unfortunately, because of the fact that years before that, there were incidents with false Moshiachs. So many of the rabbis, when they heard about a rabbi who was able to perform miracles, and they immediately assumed that, oh no, this is another one of them. And they immediately put a black mark on him and discouraged people every way they possibly could to stay away from Hasidim, etc. So there was great hisnagdus, great opposition to Hasidim at that time. And this person was part of that group. And the Baal Shem Tov told his students that he wants them to try very hard to bring this person to the Baal Shem Tov. Sure enough, they listened, and they did whatever it took, and they brought him to the Baal Shem Tov. And in the beginning, the Baal Shem Tov rejected him. He wouldn't talk to him at all. He wouldn't allow him to come to speak to him at all. And when the person saw that the Baal Shem Tov is distancing him in such a way, he felt tremendous pain. And he tried very hard. He was smart. He understood that this is a test, and therefore he tried to do everything he could to go in to speak to the Baal Shem Tov many times. And each time the Baal Shem Tov refused. One time he became very, very, very inspired, and he came to the Baal Shem Tov with incredible humility and crying in a very big way. Because he realized that it's something from him, something is lacking in him, that the Baal Shem Tov isn't willing to talk to him, isn't willing to speak to him. And the Baal Shem Tov started to bring him close. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, "You're going to have incredible opposition. You're going to have incredible challenges, first from your family, then from your neighbors, and then the whole city is going to be against you. And then the whole world, not just the city that you're living in." And the Baal Shem Tov said, "Even the birds are going to oppose you." And this student heard this, and he went home. And sure enough, that's what happened. That in the beginning, his family became very, very upset about the fact that he went to the Baal Shem Tov, that he joined this group, and they made tremendous opposition to him. Where prior to that, everyone had tremendous respect for him because he was really a very good person, very religious. And now they started opposing him, disagreeing with him in every way. First, it was his family, then neighbors, then the whole city. And then, even out from places outside of his city, he experienced tremendous machlokes. One day, he stood up to daven, and he was davening with tremendous kavana, tremendous concentration. And while he was davening, and while he was in this incredible state of passion about the tefillah, a turkey flew in and started quacking, making a tremendous commotion and disrupting his tefillah. And he got very upset, and he chased it away, and he went back to his tefillah and back to his slavos. The bird came back a second time and did it a second time, got more angry and chased it away a second time and went back to his davening. Then it happened, he's continuing to daven, and a third time this turkey comes back in and disrupts his completely. And he got super angry and he ran to grab an axe that he's gonna smash this turkey over the head. He's gonna kill him. And then he reminded himself, he remembered what the Baal Shem Tov had told him, that even the birds are going to oppose you. And that calmed down his anger, and he didn't hurt, he didn't touch the bird, he didn't harm the bird at all. Rav Nosson Zal says, "I understood that Rabbeinu Zal told this story for us to know that very often when a person wants to come close to a true tzaddik, the person, in order to come close to Hashem and to follow in the ways of Hashem, the person has to have tests." And this person's tests came from the Baal Shem Tov himself, that the Baal Shem Tov himself pushed him away time and time again. And this was tremendously insulting. He wasn't just a regular kid. This was a person who was a Talmud Chacham, a very religious person. And he had to be able to handle this test and ignore it completely and making every effort he could to come close and to suffer whatever he had to suffer, in both from the Baal Shem Tov and from the tremendous machlokes he went through afterwards. And as a result of this person being able to stand up to all of this, he was zeicher to become a tremendous tzaddik. Rav Nosson Zal says, "I also understood from Rabbeinu Zal's words that the fact that he was able to control his anger, and he didn't kill the turkey when he remembered that the Baal Shem Tov had said this, that even the birds are going to oppose you, this was a tremendous benefit to him. This because Chas v'Shalom, had he killed the bird in this anger, it would have been a very, very big black mark against him, Chas v'Shalom. It would have harmed his connection to Hashem in a big way. However, the Baal Shem Tov prepared the cure before before the illness in Huntington that Rabbeinu, the Baal Shem Tov said a word that even the birds are going to give you problems. And then when it got to such a point where he almost killed a bird, and Baruch Hashem, he remembered what the Baal Shem Tov said, and as a result of that, his anger subsided, and he was able to get to the incredible levels that he got to, this student. Any questions? The Gemara tells us that a rabbi's attitude towards his students is supposed to be smoil doiche, yemin mekarev, with the left hand pushing away, with the right hand bringing close. There's a concept in Torah. This is regarding parents and children. The Torah says, ish imoy va'odiv tiro. The children are supposed to have respect. The word tiro means respect. The word tiro means fear. Fear of consequences, fear of punishment. That if a child is going to disagree with a parent, if a child is going to ignore what a parent says, or chas v'shalom act in a disrespectful way, there are consequences. They're going to pay a price that's going to hopefully convince them not to do that again, not to make that mistake again. That's the yira. And then there's the ahava, kabe de savicha vesimecha. Kovod means love. There's the ahava and the yira between a child and a parent, between a rabbi and a student, and in our relationship with Hashem. Today, people speak about unconditional love, that term unconditional love. And entitlement, that people, children grow up feeling entitled, that everything is coming to them. That of course you have to feed me, of course you have to buy me clothes. Of course, if I want something, you're supposed to get it for me. All that kind of an attitude, which unfortunately we see the terrible, terrible, terrible results of that kind of education and that kind of upbringing. It's incredibly important for people to realize that in life there's these two elements. There's a left and a right. There's a yira and an ava. There's a smoil doicha and a yamin mekarev. In order, the Gemara says that one of the rabbis said, zroik mora betamidim, inject fear, bitterness in student. Mean they need to know that we're not buddy-buddy. We're not equal. We're not the same. At the same time, the left hand is the weaker hand. The right hand is the stronger hand. Between the yira and ahava, the ahava has to be much more, much more. We find that Rav Nosson Zal, when he came to Rabbeinu Zal, experienced this. Reb Chaim Vital, when he came to the Arizal, experienced this also. The next paragraph, Tof Reish Tes, Rav Nosson Zal says, I heard that one time during the winter, Rabbeinu Zal was traveling, and he came to the home of the Trovitz Magid. And the Magid wasn't there at the time. And Rabbeinu Zal stood near the oven, to warm up. And some of the Trovitz Magid's people were there. Some of his students were there. And Rabbeinu Zal said to them, please make sure to give over warm regards and greetings to the Magid when you see him. And tell him the following Dvar Torah. There's a pasuk in Bishalach, where it says that when the Jews left Egypt, Vayasev Elokim es ha'om derech hamidbar yamsuf. Rabbeinu Zal said, Elokim, Hashem's name Elokim, usually represents judgment, punishment. And Rabbeinu Zal said, when there's judgment in the air, when judgment is around, and it surrounds a person, what's the solution? Derech hamidbar yamsuf. Midbar means desert, and midbar means medaber, to speak. By speaking about Yamsuf, Yosef HaTzadik. Mi, Yamsuf is me, Yosef. The word Yam could be me, Memyud, me Yosef. Speaking about, we need to speak about Tzadikim. Speaking about Tzadikim is one of the things that brings about tremendous Hamtoka Sadinim, sweetening any judgments, telling over stories of Tzadikim. There's a chapter on the Likutei Moran, chapter 29, I believe, where Rabbeinu Zal there speaks about the Tikkun HaKloli for speech. And he says the Tikkun HaKloli for speech is praising Tzadikim, the praises of Tzadikim. And then the Pasuk continues there, V'chamushim Olu b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. And Rashi says one of the opinions is that one out of 50 Jews was zeichet to leave Mitzrayim. 49 out of 50 did not leave Mitzrayim. So Rabbeinu Zal said that through the five methods of speech, there are five ways that letters come out of a person's mouth. They're called the Chamisha Moitzoyes HaPeh, which are the throat. There are certain letters which come from the throat. Ah, ha, cha, ah. You don't use your lips. There are certain letters where you must use your lips. Beis, vav, mem, pei. And that the letters of the alphabet are broken up into these five categories. That the different letters come, certain letters you need the tongue, certain letters you need the teeth, certain letters the upper palate. So Rabbeinu Zal said, through the chamushim refers to the chamisha, the five ways that speech comes out of a person's mouth. When the person is zeichet to speak about tzaddikim, olu b'nei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. That's how the Jews get out of their constriction. Mitzrayim means meitzar, meaning that this is one of the ways of hamtokas adinim, of sweetening any negative judgments, is speaking about tzaddikim, and especially stories about tzaddikim. We know Rabbeinu Zal also, he said to his daughter once, that we say in Birkas Hamozayin, Magdil Yeshua Yismalkoi, V'oyseh Chesed L'Mashichoi. Malkoi, the king, the Gemara says, who are the kings of the Jewish people? The rabbis. Magdil Yeshua Yismalkoi, when a person magnifies, speaks greatly about the Yeshuas that were accomplished by the king, by the tzaddikim, V'oyseh Chesed L'Mashichoi. Hashem performs chesed for the one who speaks it, the one who says, tells over these stories. We know the entire first Chumash and half of the second Chumash is stories of tzaddikim. And we know in the Gemara, there's major, the Gemara in the Zohar HaKadosh, a major part of it is stories of tzaddikim. The next item, Tof Resh Yud, Rav Nosson Zal says, I once heard that Rabbeinu Zal told Reb Yudel, who was one of his close students, who was the son-in-law of Reb Leib Mistretenitz. Reb Leib Mistretenitz was one of the students of the Mezritch HaMagid, or the Baal Shem Tov, a very, very great tzaddik. And this Reb Yudel was close to Rabbi Pinchas Mikoretz before he came to Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbi Pinchas Koretz was one of the elderly students of the Mezritch HaMagid. And Rabbeinu Zal said to Reb Yudel, tell me over something that you heard from your Rebbe before, Reb Pinchas Koretz. So Reb Yudel said, I'll tell you something. He said that when we say vidui, when we say confession to Hashem, and we say oshamnu, bogadnu, gozalnu, we sinned. We say we sinned. Who's the we? We should say oshamti, I sinned. And Reb Pinchas Mikoretz said that when we're saying this, this is actually a way of defending ourselves to Hashem. That Hashem, had you not given me permission to do this Avera, had you not given me the ability to do the Avera, I couldn't have done it. So we're in this together. So Rabbeinu Zal said, I also have a similar interpretation regarding a pasuk in Chumash. The opening pasuk in Parshas Vayigash, it says, Vayigash Elov Yehuda. Yehuda is the child of Yaakov Avinu. Yehuda also means the Jewish nation. We are called Yehudim. The Jewish people approach Hashem, and we say to, and we want to ask Hashem for forgiveness for our sins. Vayomer, and Yehuda said, Be Adoni. Be means in me. Adoni, my master. You, Hashem, you're inside of me. Meaning that again, any energy, the whole life energy inside of me, my ability to do anything comes from you. Without that, I wouldn't have been able to do any sins. So a person would think to a degree that, okay, that he justified himself. So now Hashem, he's 100% okay. But the next pasuk says, it's the pasuk continues, Yedaber no avdecho dovor ba'osnei adoini. Hashem, please allow me to speak what I need to say into your ears. And please don't get angry at me, meaning I know that it's my fault. I know that I'm responsible. No one else is responsible. But this is a way of sort of softening the judgment a little bit, being able to justify a little bit that it's not only me, it's not just me. The next paragraph also speaks about Reb Yudel and his father-in-law, and that this Reb Leib Mestretenitz died out at sea. He was on a ship out at sea traveling. I don't remember if he was traveling to Eretz Yisrael, and he died on the ship. And there was a whole story about how it happened. And before he passed away, he said to the people on the boat, "If my son-in-law were here, he wouldn't have allowed me to die." Meaning he could, he would have been able to stop this. He would have been able to block it. So Rav Nosson Zal says that he heard that when Reb Leib was traveling on the sh on this ship, a gigantic, a huge beast came out of the sea. I don't know if this was a whale or a shark, some kind of gigantic, gigantic beast, and started coming towards the boat. And people were terrified because they understood that this beast, if it bumps into, if it wants to bump the boat, they're all going to get thrown into the sea. They were terrified. And Reb Leib went and put on his talis and tefillin and started walking towards that animal on the boat, started walking towards that animal. And the animal went back down into the sea, and that was the end of it. And after this, Reb Leib Mestretenitz passed away. It seems again during this same trip, he actually passed away. And sailors in those days, especially, they don't want to keep a dead body on the boat. So they took a plank, a large wooden plank, and put his body on the plank and put him out on the water. Let him go wherever he goes, wherever the wind blows. Sure enough, that plank floated and traveled to a certain port, a certain place. And there was an amuda denura. There was a pillar of fire, on a vertical pillar of fire, following that plank of wood as it was traveling. When it arrived at the seashore, the people heard about it. They came running out to see this, and they received this. Now, years before that, there was a great chacham. It seems this was a Sephardic city. There was a great chacham who had passed away. And before he passed away, he wrote a will and he said, "No one should be buried next to me until a rabbi comes from Poland. A rabbi comes from the Ashkenazic rabbis, and you'll see an amuda denura, you'll see a pillar of fire above him. He should be buried next to me." And sure enough, that was this Reb Leib Mestretenitz who was buried next to this great chacham. Rav Nosson Zal writes that this Reb Yudel was a tremendous lamdan, very knowledgeable in Gemara, in Halacha, and Kabbalah, and he was much older than Rabbeinu Zal when he came to Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbeinu Zal was younger than him, and Rabbeinu Zal at that time was living in Medvedevka. This is before he came to Breslov, and Reb Yudel lived in a city called Dashev, which was about 80 miles from Medvedevka, and he walked to go see. He wasn't what couldn't afford traveling another way. He walked sometimes to go to Rabbeinu Zal, and he said, "How is it possible to live so far away from such a Rebbe?" And he picked himself up and he moved from Dashiv, and he moved close to Medvedevka to be close to where Rabbeinu Zal was at the time. That was Zlata Poli. Medvedevka is one of the cities that Rabbeinu Zal lived in a short while after he was married. First, he lived by his father-in-law in Hysin, and then I believe afterwards Medvedevka, and that's where he first started getting students. That's where people started finding out about him much, much more. Then he moved from there to Zlata Poli, and he spent 2 years there, and that was torture, torture. There was tremendous machlokes against him.
You see such a big commitment really. Albert Nelson, he was Zeichen. He's so close to heaven when you see the people. I mean, well, it's
Very good question. We read about Rabbeinu's, our students, Rabbi Yudel, Rabbi Aaron, people who are tremendous giants in Torah and Yiddishkeit. How is it that Rabbi Nosson Zal, only Rabbi Nosson Zal, had a unique connection where he was the one who wrote down, who heard and wrote down all of Rabbeinu Zal's Torahs, and Rabbeinu Zal said about him, if not for him, there wouldn't be one page of my teachings. And Rabbeinu Zal said that nobody really knows about me other than Rav Nosson Zal and Rav Naftali Zal a little bit. The answer is, from what we're told, the same quality that Yehoshua had, whose yahrzeit was yesterday, Yehoshua ben Nun, whose yahrzeit was this yesterday, Shabbos, I believe. And Reb Chaim Vital, the student of the Arizal, an incredible level of humility, of anova. And it seems that that's above everything else, and a level of bittul that to these people, their Rebbe was everything, everything. And as a result, they had a whole completely different relationship than the other students who were great tzaddikim, but didn't have that same bittul. The next item, Tof Resh Yud Beis and Tof Resh Yud Gimel, are just comments on chapter 2 in Likutey Moharan, the second chapter in Likutey Moharan, where there were slightly different versions of some of the sentences in that Torah. And here, Rav Nosson Zal comments that I found an old copy of that Torah written by my friends, where there the wording seems to be a little bit more accurate. And in most Likutey Morans, they print both of the wordings. They print the wording that seems a little bit less clear, and also the wording that Rav Nosson Zal puts in over here in these two paragraphs. Now, the next paragraph, Tof Resh Yud Daled, and this is actually the final paragraph in Chaim Aran. Reb Nachman Tshirin writes, he's the one who organized this sefer, he writes, I found a manuscript where Rav Nosson Zal wrote sort of like an introduction to the Sefer. And he says, I feel very much that I want to present it. And in there, Rav Nosson Zal writes, who in the world can possibly really realize the beauty of the words that Rabbeinu Zal spoke when the words came out of his mouth with such holiness and purity and such a clarity? That even on a gashmius, even on a re, on a gashmi, even on a materialistic level, his words had incredible grace and charm, chen, that even regular people, people who weren't big Talmidei Chachamim, were very impressed by anything they heard from him, and they had tremendous yearning. They wanted to hear more. They couldn't wait to hear something more from this person. And whoever would speak to Rabbeinu Zal was drawn to him with tremendous yearning. Even the Rishoim in Uman, even the atheists in Uman, those who were founders of the Reform movement, the Apikursim who lived in Uman during those 5 months, 5, 6 months, that last months of Rabbeinu Zal's life, Rav Nosson Zal says they were attracted and drawn to him to the point where they had thoughts of tshuva, which they never imagined in their wildest dreams that they would ever do tshuva. They had sworn that they would never mention the word Hashem, the word G-O-D, anything like that, and they were the furthest thing possible from tshuva, Rav Nosson says, as anybody who met those people saw. And yet through Rabbeinu Zal, by speaking with Rabbeinu Zal, even they had Hirhurei Tshuva. Despite the fact that Rabbeinu Zal never spoke to them about Tshuva, not only that, he wouldn't even speak Divrei Torah in their presence. He would just talk to them about things going on in the world, regular, ordinary conversation. And still, they were drawn to him And they felt a holiness in everything that came out of his mouth, to the point where they were very, very close to doing a complete tshuva. And were it not for the fact that Rabbi Elazar passed away so quickly, he only spent about 5 months in that city. He arrived there, I believe, in Iyar, Hey Iyar, or he left Breslov in Hey Iyar, and came to Uman shortly afterwards, and he passed away in Tishrei. Rav Nosson Zal says, had Rabbi Elazar lived a little bit longer, they definitely would have become complete Balei Tshuva. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, everything that we say about Rabbi Elazar is all really like an insult to him compared to what his greatness really was. And he writes, like, if all the oceans were ink and all the trees were pens, it wouldn't be enough to even describe a little bit of Rabbi Elazar's greatness and holiness, his chachma, his Torah, his holiness. And he says, therefore, the best thing to do is to be quiet until Mashiach will come, and then the whole world will realize and see the greatness of Rabbi Elazar. Then people will have a lot to say about who this tzaddik was. And we know that Rabbi Elazar had said that Mashiach will be from his descendants. Rabbi Elazar said that he was zecher to convince Hashem kaviyochol that the Moshiach should be from his descendants. And Rabbi Nosson Zal is a short tefillah. We hope and pray that he'll come very shortly. Another paragraph, and this is literally the closing paragraph, Tofresh Tezvav, 615. In this sefer are written all the stories that we heard from Rabbi Elazar, and also many conversations, discussions, because Rabbi Nosson Zal writes, every time anybody spoke to him, it was always Torah. And stories that occurred between Rabbi Elazar and his students. And from all of these, a person, an intelligent person, will get a feeling of how great Rabbi Elazar was and his holiness, which is things that we can't even speak about. We can't describe it. And Rav Nosson Zal adds again, a person who's smart will know now to be quiet, because again, people can't necessarily appreciate. And as people hear these things, they say, how are you allowed to say such a thing about us? You're talking about him like he's like Hashem. And each and every person, according to what they feel in their heart, will be able to understand a drop of what we're talking about. And Rav Nosson Zal says, even what we heard and what we saw, you should know what you're seeing here is just a drop. There's a lot that we didn't get to write down. And unfortunately, because of tremendous machlekes at Rabbeinu, the opposition that he had, because of that, we're forced not to talk about certain things, not to tell over certain things. But we realize that Rabbeinu Zal's holiness and greatness is way above our comprehension. And again, even the little bit that we did realize, we realize that we can't talk about all of it, because of the machlikas, because of all the opposition. Even though it would be a tremendous benefit to the world if they knew some of these things. So Rav Nosson Zal writes, but I just wrote down what I was able to for generations to come, so that the Torah will not be forgotten from us and our children, and so that generations to come will realize Hashem's incredible love for the Jewish people, that we were zeichah even at this time, you know, shortly before the coming of Mashiach, you know, after the Tanoim, after the Amoraim and everything, we were zeichah even during our generation to such an incredible high level of light. Ashrei to the eyes that saw him, ashrei to the ears that heard the words coming from his holy mouth. And any person who will delve into his holy Sfarim will be zeicha to realize and understand a little bit of his greatness. Tam v'nishlam, with this we complete the Sefer Chaim Aran, Shevach Lokel Borei Olam. We give tremendous praise to Hashem that we were zeicha to learn this, Baruch Hashem. Now the question is, what do we do next week, Mitzvah Hashem? The answer is, I'm not sure yet. With Hashem's help, we're definitely going to continue these shiurim. There's a few ideas of different topics to speak about in Mitzvah Hashem. I hope that before next Sunday, we'll send out a message to everybody, giving an idea as to what we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Hashem. It might not be inside reading from inside a safe. It might be more a shiur. But I hope it's going to be something very, very special. It's a shame. Wishing everybody a wonderful week, a good Chodesh. This week we're going to have 2 days Rosh Chodesh towards the end of the week, and Erev Rosh Chodesh. We should be a zeicha to all the yeshuas and refuas that Klal Yisrael needs now, especially the complete and final Gula Shlema with the coming of Moshiach, Binyan Beis Hamikdash, Minyan Yameinu, Amen v'Amen.